Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political, or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Amen. I believe those of you who are listening, I apologize for the pause if you were listening. I was speaking on the air, but the mic was somehow muted or not working, but we are fixing that. Anyway, I am here tonight, and I guess the enemy was trying to play a game on me. But I wanted you to know that I am here tonight. I have been on for a while. I've actually been teaching for the last 8 minutes. But you didn't hear me because the mic was not picking up the sound. However, we're going on and we're going further into the Word of God. Tonight, if you're listening by the Internet and you need to get off the Internet for some reason, you can dial 646-595-4877. I do apologize. I hope we didn't lose some people, but we are on the air. Let people know that if they didn't hear me in the last 8 minutes, that I was on. But the mic system that I had, the mic was not functioning properly. So I do apologize. But I believe that you can hear me now. My assistants are doing a great job letting me know that they can hear me and that I can go forward and go on. Let me again welcome you to the broadcast. My name is Levon Green, and I'm the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and the host of Rhema Remnant Radio. Tonight, if they ask you for some reason, what am I teaching on? Let them know that I'm teaching on at least get the B. At least get the B. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It's the authority of your word that gives me confidence to make boldly known the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for the utterance of the Holy Ghost that gives me clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought as I make manifold known the wisdom of God. I do yield my members to obey what the Spirit has to say to the churches. And Father, in everything you be glorified for the things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed. It is in the name of the Lord Jesus that we do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened up his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, 1 through 16. Ministry demands the framing of a distinguished personality, the enlightened. Disguised as the grace that only God can give to deal with our personal issues and intersections we have in others' lives, under the prompting of the Spirit, I'm reminding ministers that we are still disciples of Christ And as we approach a new page in our lives, we must often refresh ourselves of the requirement to develop steadfastness to exemplifying the Lord Jesus. Tonight we will examine the Beatitudes briefly and perhaps extract some spiritual fundamentals that will navigate the pilgrimages to destiny in our perception that gives voice to developing true humility. Never let the works and wonders of ministry give the sense that you have healthily developed the proper esteem or confidence. Actions that display your quote-unquote great faith does not impress your Creator, but only transparency of heart, which is found in genuine humility. The text picks up from the lesson given to the disciples. The Lord Jesus was preparing them for the future. This was not in the grasp of their understanding. Little did they know how the very words prophetically uttered over their lives would become their realities. Humility is one's recognition of the need for the power of God to display his divine mercy, to exist as his willing child to walk by faith. The scripture validates Jacob, Joshua, Job, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, and Jesus as clear illustrations to the grace of the work of humility within humanity. The unique aspect of the text is how we limit the discussion to merely an attitude, a point of our perception that holds our attention. But the scripture gives a greater focus to the object lesson in this text that is clearly repetitive. That is the that I think needs to be emphasized over the altering perceptions of just beatitudes. Often when given the task of doctrinal instruction, which requires me to give guidelines to perception for the sake of an agreement of the terms of my dialogue, I found that perception for the sake of agreement comes through extreme channels to gaining insights on a matter that could possibly rewrite the text to push the issue of what personal opinions are attempting to convey. This habit must be broken to take a better stand in reality. This passage must be given insight and observance based on the word from the passage directly stated within the word passage of the text. The text is leading to enlightenment. He was preparing their hearts for the demanded stance for righteousness that would ultimately require a contrite heart, a high form of humility that would test them at their wit's end to bring about the reality of this one key word, the blessing. Never in the scripture is it referred to as an attitude. On a personal note, for over a year, my heart has been driven by the Spirit to indulge in the understanding of this true state of blessing. In research, I found that this is just not a Christian term, but a state of existing in the lines of God's will to bring about God's grace results that function only by the moving of his divine power on our behalf to comprehend and accomplish his will without interference from the flesh. The blessing is the focus of this text in Matthew 5. Life is given to those men as the life that will transform the world. Ephesians 1:3 also sparks this conviction with the appeal to believers that would have us know that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places by Christ Jesus. Capturing this concept then will transform the message behind what the Lord Jesus was giving to his disciples, not just as an attitude, but as a state that is coined under the definition of the blessing. There are nine primary aspects to this faith. which unlocks a greater message that the blessing is trying to come across. Be careful of what I term as Gothic gospel. Gothic gospel looks at scriptures in an unhealthy manner to convey a gospel that gives credence to a state of poverty. And so when you're looking at these attitudes, or more so qualities of the state of the blessed, don't get in the mindset that the terms that we coin in the Western culture convey the intent of the content that is given in light of the scripture. There are nine of them. Let's go through them quickly. Number one, the poor in spirit. This is a state where there is a complete dependence upon the power of God to reveal how to live the life of the spirit. This doesn't mean no self-esteem or lack of acknowledgement, but truly humility. Number two, they that mourn. Of course, you know, every statement is coined, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there they shall be. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. This also foreshadows, number two, the role of the Holy Spirit, which has been sent to comfort the believers with Jesus, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually. Number three, the meek. Our meekness is the satisfaction to discover divine knowledge that God has assured our good life. When this is attained, we will inherit and reap the benefit of being here on planet Earth. Number four, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, this is key to discovering the means to attaining perfection. This is why it is illustrated as being filled, given the example of fullness that comes from the knowledge that, again, comes by way of the Holy Spirit. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Also, signifies the promises of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which has been sent to lead us and guide us unto the truth. Number five, the merciful. Those that have been there and done that. See, this is the needed compassion for converting the world so that they would come to us for honest observance, for true confidence that keeps our heads up while we represent an all-holy God that cannot look on our sin. And then number six, the pure in heart. The only place that God pays attention to. This is why many have challenges in ministry. We overestimate the obvious, overriding the intents of our hearts. And this place is the only place that God is open to observing, our heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And then number seven, the peacemakers. This is the heightened union with Christ that gives the advantages of his presence and makes known to us of what it means to be mature. This is the manifestation of our sonship. Of course, you know, the blessed are the peacemakers because they're going to be called the sons of God. And then number eight, those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. There remains treasures in the heaven when we are willing to sacrifice for the actions that lead others on the path of righteousness. This is when the Christian in the inner man is identified to the believer and to Christ. And then, blessed are they when men revile you. This is when you are known, when you have the knowledge and you know that you have attained humility because you join others who have been declared as faithful in Christ. So let's not look at this text religiously as a sermon that Jesus was giving his disciples on a mount to shape their attitudes, because he wasn't trying to shape their attitudes. he was trying to prophetically declare their destiny. The descriptions of obtaining the blessing is not going to come from just developing a perception around the little truths given by the words of the Lord Jesus. The text goes further, stating that it reveals your identity so that God is ultimately glorified. If you're going to thrive in ministry, the little things count. At least get to be, achieve what God expects of us that qualifies others to look on our lives, which is the most important ministry that shows that we are blessed. Jesus understood that they would not merely get it unless they became what they believed. At least get to be. Get to the state in your life as ministers of the gospel that you are known as being blessed by God. Amen? Amen. I thought in that robbery to give you just a little example of how the scripture can unfold greater meaning behind those perceived notions that we all classify in our religious attempts to understand God. Nowhere in the text was Jesus identifying just a mere attitude for us to coin as, this is how our attitude should be. No, he was talking about our very lives. These men were going to have to face the world without him physically. And in order to face it, they would have to depend on the Holy Spirit of God to develop humility in their lives so that they could endure the things that were set on the road for their destiny. Their trials were for certain because they were prophetically declared that that would occur. And so in order to get through that courageously, they would need the power of the Holy Spirit to make them worthy of this walk of faith. You know, when you talk about humility, you're dealing with people's walk, people's lifestyle, people that don't attempt to pervert people's views of them by actions that make them noteworthy, but people who would rather go throughout their lives for righteousness' sake, as the scripture declares, just for the sake of being right with God. I said, Lord, well, this is quite a simple message. And he said, yeah, it may be simple, but it's necessary. This generation has not seen the level of humility that God expects of them that are in ministry due to the fact that we have gotten so twisted in the camouflage of success and things that we're missing the path that we have willfully chosen. If you have chosen to walk this path, you must walk it circumspectly, meaning you must take careful considerations because you're seen for the sake of God's glory, not your own glory. This is not your story. This is for God. My challenge is the same challenge that I've been preaching most of my life, found in Matthew 5, verse 16 tonight. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because you're the salt of the earth. You are the light to the world. For them that have ears to hear, let them hear. Father, I pray you were glorified in something that was declared tonight. We all have our intentions and our means to try to get across the imprint of your word. My prayer was that what you gave me will remind us in ministry that we're performing for an audience of one and that you follow. God, you did not take your disciples on the mountain to illustrate to us just a mere attitude. You wanted us to be identified in the realm of the blessing, which gives validity to our disciplines, which gives validity to our ministries, which gives validity to why we do what we do persistently, despite the antagonizing forces that try to alter our destinies. Teach us the reverential fear that leads us to due diligence through righteousness, Father. Let us not just merely become religiously acquainted with you, but let us experience this state which Jesus died for, which he declared prophetically for the sake of scriptures to be in place so that we could obtain this, your church, the place that you have intended for us to achieve your kingdom, realized and effectuated in us internally, identified and emulating out of us externally, that you may be glorified. Father, I thank you that the words of your voice and your intent will be conveyed by the steadfastness of this ministry to give your people your word. For you exalted your word above your name. Make us worthy. Help us with this walk. We know you already have prepared and you've made known the end before the beginning. But our request is so that way we let you know, Father, that we want it. Help us, God, not to forget. Father, you are worthy. You are the reason we live, move, and have our being. We are so grateful. I appreciate you, my Father. Hallelujah. It is in the name of the Lord Jesus that I do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. I trust that something that was said would help you this year close out strong. There are many little treasures within the scriptures that may seem so simple. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. Preachers, what are you hearing? Where is your faith? Scripture lets us know to examine ourselves. The time is coming, sons of God, where we will not escape the majestic power of his judgment. Let us not go into this new year the same way we entered last year. God be with you. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will be, because greater is he that lives within you than he that's within the world. If you're listening by the internet, I pray that you will let someone else know that they can always download the teachings on here. And if you ask what teaching they should get, you should tell them at least get the B. God bless you and good night.